Marco Werman here. You're with The World. We're going to talk about Somalia now, but not in the way Somalia often gets described in the headlines. You know, the country in the Horn of Africa, site of violence and poverty. Our focus on The World today is on Somalia, a country known for its poetry. And when Somalis leave their homeland and settle here in the U.S., that poetry does not get left behind. Here's Ian Koss with the story of two young women, poets, keeping a family tradition alive.
When she was a little girl, Amal Hussein loved listening to her grandmother perform gabe. That's a style of Somali poetry.
I remember I didn't even understand some of the words, but just the flow, the rhythm, the drums, the beat, everything. Like, you're literally inside the gabe.
She wanted to learn to write gabe, too. There was just one problem. Amal grew up in Boston. Her family came here when she was three, but her grandmother stayed behind.
She lived through when Somalia was really beautiful and peaceful, and then she lived through the civil war. And when we left, she didn't want to come. She was always like, this is my sand. This is where I feel like is home.
How long would you talk on the phone?
Hours. It was hours. And she would tell me stories on how she learned the gabe.
The way Amal talks about her grandmother, it's like she's here.
You know how everyone has their grandmother, like, in the house, and it's like, I've had that feeling through the phone, which is pretty amazing. Every time I went and I spoke to her, she'd always tell me things that I need to hear rather than things that I want to hear. So she was always, like, my backbone in a way.
Amal grew up hearing poetry in the house, but she never dared write her own until she met Hamdi, Hamdi Mohammed.
That's Hamdi. It's Hamdi's the writer.
They met at an Islamic middle school in a suburb south of Boston. They're the only two Somali girls at the school, and every day they rode the train there together, an hour each way. Here's Hamdi.
Since I was super quiet, most of our commuter rail rides in the beginning, well, I didn't know her that well. I would just be reading a book by myself or something like that. Oh, I'd be writing.
And she was just writing. And obviously, like, I'd go and bother her and see, like, what she was writing. And, like, she was like, okay, now your turn. You have to write a poem.
And I did kind of force her to write it, too, because she was also forcing me to do things so out of my comfort zone.
As it turned out, Hamdi's grandmother was also a poet. And soon, the two girls were writing poetry together.
So we would come up with a different topic, and then we would just write, like, silently.
And then I'll give her the paper, and she'll finish it, or I'll finish it at the end. But that cycle can keep going on and on and on. Just like gabe, in a way.
The land of unbroken horizons.
The land of golden camels and slanted trees.
The land of red dust and memories.
The land of unsi and spices.
The land of halwa and shah.
Then you hear the, like, train stop, and you're like, oh, okay. And then you get up, and then you go back to the real world, so...
At first, Hamdi and Amal wrote all their poems in English. But then a few years ago, Amal decided she would write a poem in Somali, no matter how long it took. She wrote it with one person in mind.
So I got off the phone with my grandma, and right away I'm like, okay, I'm going to write a Somali poem.
The poem was only 7 lines long, but that's more of a challenge than you might think.
You know how there's, like, regular English, and then there's, like, poetic English, like William Shakespeare. It's like that.
And gabe is not just free-form poetry. It's more like a sonnet if we're talking Shakespeare, where all the words have to fit in the right timing.
So whenever I write, I always have this rhythm. And it's the rhythm my grandma always used when she was reading her poetry.
And the meaning can't be too obvious. You have to tuck it into metaphors and proverbs.
And I remember calling my grandma, and, like, she would listen to it. It's a warning. Like, I'm talking to all the Somali people that fled away from Somalia in a way. We're exiled from our own country. Well, at first she didn't talk. She was just really silent. She started crying. And then she was like, you're definitely my granddaughter.
When was that conversation?
That was, I believe, like 3 years ago. So it was like a year before she passed away. we all knew she was sick. So I made sure I spoke to her often because my Somali name is Mumtaz. So she'd always say, "Oh, Mumtaz, the poet," you know? That was like one of my last memories with her.
Both Amal and Hamdi hoped to make the trip to Somalia in the next year. And for Hamdi, at least, her grandmother is still around, living in Kenya at the moment, and waiting to see her granddaughter again after many years apart. Hamdi is working on a translation of her own poem called For My Ayeyo, which means for my grandmother. Hamdi hopes to speak the poem to her in person and in Somali.
I feel heavy, Ayeyo, when we speak on the telephone. My memory of your hands are fading. Henna we used to wear, black and red, now gone. Make a prayer, Yeo, with your long black prayer beads. God is closer to you than I. I am coming soon, Yeo. Listen for my skin and bones. They always know where they came from.
Ian's story is an excerpt from the podcast The New American Songbook about immigrant artists and musicians. It's produced with support from the Ground Truth Project here at WGBH and Mass Humanities.